You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Welcome back, Bison fans, to this edition of Bison Report Radio, the NFL Draft Recap edition.
Woo!
Of Bison Report Radio, brought to you by Big Deck Barbecue Company, brought to you by our good friend Cooper Wallow over at Mahana Fresh.
The best in town, man.
We've got Zach Willis in studio. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm here to hype up our sponsors and talk some NFL drafts, so I'm excited for that.
Absolutely. News portion, I guess, is, you know, pretty short and sweet. Nothing super eventful out of spring ball. Your take on the rings. I thought they were like top one, top two, top three of all time.
I'm kind of partial to the ones I have.
Sure.
I talked to Quinn about this too, but I'm a fan of the square rings. Like just that shape in general.
Yeah.
As opposed to the football shaped rings. I don't know. It's
ring number one was outrageous.
Yeah, like just as big as it can get. But I just like how the rectangle square ring looks.
Yeah.
I thought it was sharp. And the coolest part about it is they take their time designing it. There's a lot of meaning in it, too.
Yes.
So that's always the coolest part.
No, I thought they looked great. But, yeah, nothing out of spring ball that like, jumped out. So, from a news perspective, we can talk about what people saw, stuff like that. But the news, obviously, is that Cordell Volson was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. Christian Watson was drafted by the Green Bay Packers.
Your Green Bay Packers.
My Green Bay Packers. Braden Thomas, literally mine. I own a portion of the team. Braden Thomas. Signed by the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes.
Go beat up Christian Roseboom for you.
Love that. I hope he's playing fullback or something. Run through his face.
And last but not least, Josh Babbage.
Yeah.
Going to the Carolina Panthers. We're going to talk about each of these fits. That's one that's really, really exciting. But let's go back to spring football and kind of what was expected. I thought, you know, some of the more interesting things were were you able to watch the practice? Okay. I thought the linebacker thing was interesting. And the other thing that I'm really interested in is, I keep saying the word interested, but the thing I'm really watching for is, you know, Coach said, I think on the second signing day, we are going to have to add transfers.
Sure.
Now the transfer portal closed as it pertains to entering it on May 1st.
Okay.
So midnight.
Everyone who's in there is in there.
You're in there, you're in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a way to not go to your current school, but like the portal aspect of it is shut down. It's closed. Sure. So I'm interested to see, you know, when those types of commitments are going to come in. You know, they really only added the Strite kid, the tight end out of Northern State, whose brother hoops here.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I think linebacker depth is certainly something. Defensive line depth is something that we've been tracking, and no movement yet. So that's, for me, it's interesting to watch.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I mean, it's not like the NFL free agency where you can just go pick somebody up when you need them throughout the season. Like, you have to be ready going into the first game with that squad.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, like you said, in the next couple months, especially because NDSU's development in the summer is so huge. You'd want to get them on campus as soon as possible. So I would imagine if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen soon.
For sure, for sure. And I think, you know, the big thing is obviously replacing Jahzir Cox.
Yep.
I think Michael Tutsi has a chance at that. It looks like they've been trying Ladarchik there a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think there was one of the young kids switched positions down to line. Barica, yeah, yeah, switched. Not Barica. Barica's the tailback. Enoch, not Barica. Enoch. Yeah. Like, that'd be news.
Yeah.
You're
switching completely other sides.
Right. Which has happened. Shout out to Ty Brooks' cornerback.
Everybody,
career.
Yeah. James Hendricks'
cornerback career. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, that's a big spot. And I think it's interesting, obviously, to pay attention to what's going on when Cole Wisniewski's not available because there's no question that he's going to be on the field, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they have formations defensively that won't have Cole and Kays on the field. It's that other spot that it's like, okay, who's it going to be?
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's the thing about I was actually talking to a friend about this, about NDSU's offense and the fact that we've literally ran every kind of offense you could want to run. It's in the playbook. It can be installed. It's the same thing with our defense. I mean, if you are shorter at linebacker, you can find ways to make up for that. But we kind of know where our home base is. So it's going to be interesting, like you said, who finds that last spot and how we can make up for that lack of depth.
When they had Jordan Champion and Jalen Wimbush.
Sure.
And they were like, we're going to actually play nickel. We're really, really going to put a third corner on the field inside as opposed to playing Jabril there, playing Travis Beck there, playing Jahzir there. We're actually going to play Champ or Wimbush. That might be a situation this year where they're like, our three safeties are three of our 11 best players.
Right.
So we have to play Dom, we have to play Tut, and we have to play Dawson in some form or fashion. Could be the big nickel package.
Yeah, and then you have Julian Ladarchik, who's in that same room that is a legit starter at any other school in the country, too.
Right.
I mean, it's a spoil of riches. So, I mean, the thing about those guys, too, is that at the end of the day, they're good football players. It might be a different position, but they can figure out if that's what's best for the team.
Let me ask you a spring football, like, related question. And it feels like we're going to pick on Kubis here because I think that's kind of the only spot. Because I think everybody sort of assumes Mason Miller's taking over for Cordell.
Sure.
That's the general assumption. And it feels like Jalen and Nash are not
moving.
Their spots are not up for grabs. So do you feel like there's a real competition at right guard? Obviously, I think it's Kubis' to lose.
Sure.
But do you think you could get a Gray Zabel involved in that? Do you think you can get a Luke Lasalento involved in that? Do you think is there open competition for what's going on in the offensive line?
I mean, I feel like we would have heard more about that if that was the case. I don't really think so. I genuinely think Kubis had that year to mature, and he started playing really well towards the tail end of it.
Yeah.
One of the highest graded players on the offensive line per PFF in the national championship.
Yeah, I mean, we both said it. Him in week 4 compared to him in week 16.
Completely different player. Yeah, and then you add in the spring ball going into another fall. He's going to be one of the older dudes on the line. I don't think that spot's up for grabs.
I'd like to see some Gray Zabel.
Sure. Yeah. I'd like to see Brandon Westerberg. There's a lot of guys I want to see, but as I'm proof of, and you know, they've proven before, if there's five studs, the five studs are playing. So I have no idea, but I mean, as many reps as you can take off those older guys' legs as possible is always better.
Sure.
You know, you could see Jake Rock hopping in, play left tackle, give Cody some breaks when it's necessary. So, they're really deep there, man, with studs.
I'm gonna ask another question here because I find it interesting. You said his name on accident.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot get his name out of people's mouths.
Yeah.
Barica Kapinu.
Yeah. He's been a stud since Cheyenne High School.
So here's the question I want to pose to you. Who is NDSU's leading rusher at the end of the season this year?
I was hoping you didn't ask me this. It really is like a head scratcher.
Let's talk about the options.
Sure.
Tamarick Williams.
Yep.
Dom Ganella.
Good football player.
Kobe Johnson.
Really good football player.
Jalen Bussey.
Also a really good football player.
TK Marshall.
Stud.
Barica Kapinu.
Who's carrying the rock?
Hunter Lipke.
Yeah.
The GD FCS championship player of the game?
Yeah.
Quincy Patterson?
Is Phoenix going to carry the rock?
Cole Payton?
Right.
It's hard, man.
Yeah. And it's been these last few years of having the stable of being like, who's going to carry it?
Yeah.
It seems to work itself out in the end, but it's just like.
By the way, here's a take, and this is maybe a little bit of a take quake. For the first time in a long time, I actually feel like the backs are more talented than the line in front of them. That's how deep they are.
Sure, yeah.
Like, no Rado.
Yeah.
And look, I love Cody, and I think he's going to get drafted.
Right.
But, like, no Rado.
Yeah, you
no
just
Cordell.
You just listed off, like, 9-10 studs, though. Like
straight up, by the way, like, if I'm at, and I'm not trying to dump on Indiana State, but, sure. like, if these guys are at Indiana State, the offense is built around them like we built an offense around John Crockett.
It genuinely might be at every other Valley school. It's like, insane. TK Marshall is starting at every other school in the Valley.
Outside of maybe South Dakota State. With sure. Isaiah Davis is a dog.
Sure.
But,
yeah, just speaking generally, these sure, guys are yes. good enough to play at other schools to be feature backs.
So my point is, like, you just start listening. And then, obviously, Pinu.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the pressure is back now on the Rams room, I think. It yeah. is like these guys will get what you block for them and more. So block for them, because if you do, it's going to be sick.
Right. Do you think this is genuinely a product of the fact that it's such a volatile position? In fact, that people can get hurt on the first play of every game that they play, that they just try to stack all these dudes? Or is it just they do?
I think it's just good recruiting.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, good player you want on your team.
I think the Tamarick thing was a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to losing all the big backs.
Sure. But so we found the biggest back.
Yeah. But, like, that was a brilliant move.
Yeah.
And now the big backs are deep.
Right.
Because you got Lipke.
Yeah.
You got Dom. You got T-Mac.
Right.
The speed backs are deep. You got Bussy.
Kobe.
You got Kobe.
Yeah.
I mean, they are deep. They're diverse.
Yeah.
You can get third and one.
Dudes can catch balls.
You can have a 71-yard touchdown.
Right. It's going to be fun to watch.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think the coolest part, too, is, like you said, that it is diversified in the fact, like,
yeah.
hey, we need third and one. We don't need to throw Jalen Bussey because he's the only healthy one out there. We can get anybody we need out there.
I want to talk to Coach Ants and be like, Matt, Zach and I want to come to fall practice. We won't say anything. We just want to watch 11-on-11 win the receivers, because that, to me...
I don't think he'll believe us.
No, he won't. But to me, there is nothing more exciting about this fall than this receiver thing, because
yeah.
obviously the 34th overall pick in the NFL draft ain't there anymore.
Yeah, the space alien that wore number one.
Right, but, like, Phoenix obviously has a chance,
yep.
Lippy, but then you start talking about Bray and...
Been hearing good things about Mathis
all yep, spring. Yeah, Mathis.
Yeah.
But then the youth.
Yeah.
Bryce Lance, Mekhi Collins, Carson Hagerly.
My guy. Yeah.
I mean.
Studs.
Three-star, like, high, like, big-time deals.
And, like, here's a ricochet shot at our guy, Trev G. But, like, these are actual athletes that are coming. Oh my God. Trev is just, you know, the scrappy first one in, last one out guy, like
yeah.
hard hat, lunch pail guy. I mean, these are legit, like
wow.
Carson Hagley, state champion in track.
Right.
You sent me the other three-star
Mekhi Collins. Yeah.
Like yamming on people in the basketball court. I'm like, you play both sports?
No. And honestly, and Mekhi actually, like they, NDSU basketball was close to wanting to recruit him.
You have I mean, to be he's a freak level, show to do that.
He's that level of hooper. And that's by the way, confirmed by someone on staff. I'm not making that up.
Sure.
I've had the conversation about Mekhi, but that is, and to credit Trev, I mean, he has said often in reference to Christian Watson, like, they wouldn't even offer me a scholarship
right,
today. Like, yeah. Trevor is very self-aware, but at
absolutely,
the same time,
and that's why I felt comfortable making yeah. fun of him. But I couldn't throw anybody else out there, because sure. I know those receivers take their athleticism personally. So shout out my guy Trev G.
But man, I'm very, very excited about the receiver group and about what they can be, because this is kind of like we've talked about ad nauseum for me on the Packers side, right? Because what happened? What just happened to the Packers?
Lost your star guy.
They just traded Davante Adams.
Right.
NDSU just quote unquote traded Christian Watson.
Sure.
And they got two first round picks in return as well in Mekhi Collins and Carson Hagerly. So for me, it's like this could be the full unlocking of Aaron Rodgers where there is no Davante Adams safety blanket. And I'm not saying Cam Miller used Christian Watson as a safety blanket, but there is no more number one safety blanket. Missouri State down at halftime.
Christian took over that game.
But my point is like, okay, now if you're down – and now if you're down 10 to South Dakota State in the third quarter, not going to happen, but you know, now if you're down 10 to South Dakota State in the third quarter, what do you do?
Right. You get a more pure Cam Miller experience.
Yeah.
So of all these guys getting the ball, it might be a more, here's a takeaway.
Yeah.
Bison offense could be more well-rounded now that Christian's gone.
Sure. And by the way, no disrespect intended to Christian Watson and not saying that he didn't make it go. He did make it go, but I just think, man, like, first, I would build the ship around Noah Gindorf, but still, you can be run at by eight different guys, and if you can also throw at eight different guys, how do you game plan this team?
You don't, and that's been proven.
And that's funny. Like, man, you talk about the Arizona Wildcats. The Arizona Wildcats are going to turn on NDSU's offensive film and be like, what the F are we supposed to get prepped for?
Yeah, I mean, it genuinely is like when you're playing against a juggernaut, you just hope to limit one of them. Like in basketball, if you're playing Steph Curry, you just hope that he doesn't kill you completely. Yeah. But who do you choose out of that group of the people we just listed? I think it's really cool about the receivers because normally when people have this conversation about not knowing who the feature guy is at any position group, it's with a tone of worry. This is with a tone of excitement because there's so many dudes who could step up and be the next Christian.
Well, it's guys with multiple years in the program. Right. You mentioned Zach Mathis, Bray, multiple years in the program. Phoenix, multiple years in the program. Yep. Jake Lippe, multiple years. It's guys that have been there. My guy, Chris Harris.
Right.
You know, guys that have been there, guys that that have earned this time. And the interesting thing, too, is, you know, you talk about Raja, who I haven't even named yet, but like Raja, Bray, and Phoenix, in your mind, you're like slot guys.
Yeah.
You can't just line them up all in the slot. So we're going to see some guys working the Z as well that we haven't in the past, and I'm excited for it.
I think we're going to see some really cool stuff from this offense, knowing that it is kind of plug and play with whoever you want.
Speaking of three stars, you know whose name we haven't even mentioned yet?
Who's that?
Bryce Lance.
Good football player.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Let's end with this one.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
Excuse me?
It's so good.
Let's talk about Mahana Fresh.
Yeah, let's do it.
Have you had the steak one? Not obviously, I know you've had steak in it, but like Protein Paradise?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude, as a burly boy who's trying to get ready for the summer, it's not easy to find something that is, like, satiating for me and makes me feel full.
Right.
I don't finish the bowls at Mahana.
I don't either.
It is so much
food. Big boys.
Yeah. It's so much food, and it will not break your bank.
And guess what? Although the Parmesan shavings I get on the top are extra.
Sure.
Steak's not.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah. I mean, that's a rare thing. Like I'm sure a lot of people listening here have gone to Chipotle, gone to Pancheros, gone to Qdoba.
Mm-hmm.
Steak's just another protein there, man. And it's sweet. I like not having to pay an extra dollar and a half because I want steak instead of chicken.
It's so good, man.
And the steak is unreal.
Yeah. And that, so I took my dad there after opening weekend and I said, let's try it. That was my first time there. And like, my father, food snob, only eats it if it's cooked.
Also
right?
Also big boy.
Was genuinely impressed at how everything was cooked, but especially the steak because it was so phenomenal.
And I'll say the same thing about my mom. We were getting ready we had a little family trip to Arizona, and she was on hold with the airline trying to get some stuff moved around because we had a family emergency type situation happen, and so she's sitting on hold, and I went into town, and she texts me, bring me back a Protein Paradise, whatever, and one bite of the steak, and she's like, this was from a fast food, but she's like, this was from a burrito bar style place. Like, you just went and got it.
It tastes homemade.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Shout out Mahana Fresh.
Yeah, shout out Mahana Fresh. How's Championship Gold going?
Championship Gold's good. We might have a little excess for people that they might be able to tap into. But everything.
Are we almost out of the batches?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we might have a little reserve
that
the people might be able to tap into if they want it.
Folks, by the way, get at us on social. We want to see like vids or pics of your Championship Gold recipes. Wings, like whatever you're doing.
We get all shredded these people chicken. Sending us pictures of empty bottles, and I'm like, let's show in between.
Yeah, show the food.
Show the food.
Show the burnt ends. Show the ribs. Show
everything.
What are you doing with it? You know,
dip your French fries in it. My dad ate it on chips the other day.
Like, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Enough paying the bills. Well, whatever it is that we're doing here.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10. Trot in there, baby.
Excuse me.
Let's talk NFL draft. Let's just go in order.
Sure.
And we'll say Braden ahead of Josh because his news came out first.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you want to ask me about the Christian Watson fit?
How do you feel about the Christian Watson fit?
I think, you know, if I ranked possible situations for Christian 1 to 32, I'd probably rank what ended up happening to him number 2.
Sure. Behind who?
Kansas City, okay. Which was a topic of conversation. And honestly, more of maybe even a 1A and a 1B.
Sure.
I think, you know, your fear, of course, of his current situation is Rodgers, they win this year. Maybe they win the title. And he rides off into the sunset. And Christian's like, who my quarterback is, though? And that's your fear, you know. But from, like, an opportunity standpoint, specific to this season, it's a better situation than Kansas City because I would place – Juju Smith-Schuster, though he's not maybe or hasn't been the player he was when he broke out, I still think he's a more valuable piece than Sammy Watkins, who was the veteran replacement's a hilarious word, but like the Chiefs got multiple picks for Tyreek Hill and replaced him with Juju.
Right.
The Packers got multiple picks for Devonta and replaced him with Sammy Watkins. Mm-hmm. I think Christian has a better chance of beating out Sammy Watkins than he would Juju.
Sure.
Maybe not by a wide margin, but doesn't exist.
I think I'd agree, though.
Yeah. You know who else isn't in Green Bay?
Who's that?
Travis G.D. Kelce.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of balls.
You want to talk about a security blanket, especially with no reek?
Yeah.
15 is going to do that dumb crap that he does when he just sort of dances around and it drives you insane as a Chargers fan.
You're putting me in the PTSD.
But what I'm saying is, like, Pat's going to look for Kelce.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, man, if we want to go down like fantasy football discussion right now, move Travis Kelce to TE1 and move him into the first round because my guy is going to catch some balls.
Hey, also, isn't your one tight end Mercedes Lewis? And I love his game.
Yeah.
But he's known for
old as dirt,
dribbling dudes' heads off the turf, not for catching football.
And Robert Tonyan's coming off an ACL injury.
Right.
And Green Bay created kind of a fun, diverse group. I don't know if people know this, caught ball on Colton Hegel's head, young Mr. Alan Lazard, as a true freshman for Iowa State. But, Lazard, Cobb, Watkins, Watson, Amari Rodgers from Clemson, who they took a year ago. Mm-hmm. It's a diverse, interesting group of pass catchers. It's the same kind of thing where we're talking about Cam Miller, new toys, but not anymore the favorite toy.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes. But Watson being a part of that is very exciting.
Yeah, and opportunity aside, just the fact in another opportunity for him to get mentored from from 12, from all these guys.
By the way, not a better mentor in professional football for his position maybe than Randall Cobb.
Right,
Randall, obviously not a slot guy.
Sure.
But just as far as like
how to be a grown up,
a human being, how to be a professional.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a better learning tree than Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard.
Yeah, and you've spoken volumes about Alan Lazard just on socials that I follow you through. Like, dude is a consummate professional. Like, hey, you were wide receiver 1 at Iowa State. You caught every ball that was thrown to you. Now go block and get your nose dirty. And he does it because that's how he pays his bills. So
yes.
And if you get that part of your ego knocked away, then you become a better professional football player.
And it was funny, the first thing Matt LaFleur said when he was asked about a question about Christian Watson was, man, I love the way this kid blocks.
I love
and everybody's just like, what? Yeah. But I mean, that's the attitude, man. And by the way, that is the evolution of Christian Watson, because he didn't play as a redshirt freshman at NDSU, partially because they couldn't get him to block the way that they wanted to. And that was something I explained. People were like, man, he must have been amazing. And I was like, yeah, but kind of not until year three,
right?
You know, yeah. until
it, and it turned into not even like an able, it was a willing, like he was hunting people down to block them
1,000%. Yeah. And that was the thing. People were like, well, I'm sure Watson tore it up as a true freshman. False.
Yeah.
incorrect.
It's just another feather in NDSU's cap as far as the development and how that all goes. But I mean, just super exciting. Like you said, all this opportunity stuff. But once he gets on the field, he has Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football.
Ball's going to be on him.
Yeah.
You know, people concerned about his hands?
Go find out.
Yeah, go find out. Can we talk about the disaster that was averted when he was originally issued number 82?
Yeah. What do you dropped in your power rankings? I didn't listen to the pod because it would have melted my brain. But I did see that people were losing brain cells from listening. But, dude, 9 is clean. That edit came out today. So clean.
Yes, yes, yes.
82.
One unofficially retired for the founder of the team, Curly Lambeau. Curly wore 1. His name, like, it's not retired. Literally no one has wore 1 since Curly. And Sammy Watkins took 11, which I would have liked double 1s for C-Dub. But 9 is sick. 9 is very, very cool.
Yeah, I think the teens are hard for receivers because it's like 13.
Does Cordell have a number?
I don't even I don't know. Okay. 13 and 15 is good, but like single digits always play, man, especially when you're a fast wide receiver. It's so good.
And that's the thing. 15's Bart Starr. And 13 is Alan Lazard. So
all that's eaten up.
Yep. That's
Christian can't be in the 80s.
No, and I think giving him Devontae's number would have been very unfair.
Troublesome.
Very unfair.
Yeah.
I think if you would have just been like, okay, dog, oh, Cordell got 67. Good for him. That makes me happy.
That's awesome.
That makes me
happy. I thought they were just gonna put letter X on Cordell's jersey.
No, good for him. Look at him. Look at this guy.
That's awesome. Roster picture already?
What a guy!
He's so cute.
This is not a video medium, so people don't understand. Doug,
we're at Bengals.com looking at Cordell's roster picture.
Oh, man.
He's going to fight me next time I see him.
6'7", 313, 23, College, North Dakota State. Shout out our boy Cordell Volson. And, we can wrap up the Christian conversation and move on to Cordell. We had plans and you broke them.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? We were going to be there to celebrate Cordell's big moment. We did not get the Quonset invite in Balfour.
That hurt. I'd expect better from Cordell, but it is what it is.
I was laughing because I saw that video. I'm like, well, Zach didn't even say anything about it. So you got the straight up disrespect.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I see how it is. Yeah.
But your reaction was it my text? Were you watching? How did you get the news? Because obviously this is different. Not that C-Dub wasn't your friend, but like this is your boy.
Yeah, it was same position. Obviously, like we went through the trenches together of fall camp,
absolutely,
all that stuff,
you did.
Like
yes.
Ups and downs and everything. Cordell is one of my best friends in the world. I mean, maybe that's a one way street. Seeing as I didn't get the draft invite, but no, I had there's like NFL draft tracker, whatever the Twitter page was. I had the alert set up and it said Cordell Volson, North Dakota State, Cincinnati Bengals. And all I thought about was Aaron Donald winning the Super Bowl on the Bengals offensive line. It, you want to talk about opportunity and fit somewhere where they need a little grit and a little bit of just nasty on that interior of the offensive line. No better spot for Cordell to land up.
And man, when they take you before round 5, they like expect you to compete.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he will genuinely because I can't remember the name of the guard that got beat, but I don't think they were a fan of his performance and then his reaction afterward, but it's somewhere where he was needed. Obviously, you don't draft in the 4th round, not only because you like the player, but you need that spot filled. So Just as much as we expect them to, I think they expect them to compete as well.
Like, and to me, it looks like that's going to be a competition for an inside spot. Yep. They went and got Lyle Collins, good player from the Dallas Cowboys, to play right tackle. Their only really good offensive lineman was their left tackle, Jonah Williams, yep, from Alabama. So the left guard right now, Jackson Carmen, and the right guard, Alex Kappa, is who Cordell is going to be in competition with. Kappa getting, I think, the bag.
Big bag.
Yeah.
And he's a stud, too. So, I mean, that's going to be a fierce competition, but hey, on that inside.
You know what? If Cordell's role immediately is to back up Carmen, Kappa, and Lyle,
he's going to have a hell of a role. Career if that's
right, his, exactly. Yeah. Or if, I don't know what kind of flex positional flexibility Carmen and Kappa have.
Sure.
There's nothing about Ted Karras that is lockdown starter.
Right.
So if they're able to move Kappa or Carmen to center, you could insert Cordell.
Just find your best five.
Find your best five. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's address some allegations.
Okay.
About the way that we spoke about other Missouri Valley players in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
Because I printed some receipts.
Yeah.
I made a comment early on in the process that the Senior Bowl would view Volson over Waletzko as a whiff.
Yeah.
I was right.
Correct.
And when I made that comment, a UND fan page got up in my business.
You were way nicer to him than I was.
And your like constant harassment of Trevor Penning.
I'm so, even he's drafted, I'm still retweeting lowlights of him.
But I from my perspective, I want to make it clear, yeah, that I don't hate Waletzko. I ranked him as a top 200 player. I ranked Cordell ahead of him because I thought Cordell was a better football player.
Sure.
I had beyond awesome things to say about Pierre Strong Jr. And I was literally on the consensus board, and poor guy didn't get drafted, so I look like an idiot. But on the consensus big board, which is 60 different evaluators, ESPN, The Athletic, like, mm-hmm, me being a part of this was a big deal for me.
Sure.
And I was the highest out of all 60 boards on Isaiah Weston.
Sure.
Shout out my guy.
Oh, severely underrated.
Yes. So I'm hoping to be vindicated by like a nice little 5-6 year NFL career by Isaiah Weston.
Yeah.
But we weren't dogging, with the exception of you and whatever you issue you have, yeah, with Trevor Penning.
Okay. So just to justify or like explain my side a little bit, especially with the Waletzko thing and the Senior Bowl thing, is I do view Cordell personally as like one of my best friends. So yeah. I took it personally that
regardless
Cordell didn't get
of
to
the Quonset party invite.
Correct. Yeah.
Situation.
That aside, I thought it was a sign of disrespect that Cordell didn't get that Senior Bowl invite. And
I thought it was a sign of disrespect. We basically had to bully the Senior Bowl into inviting Christian Watson.
Exactly.
The 34th overall GD pick.
Yeah. And especially for somebody from Jim Nagy, like who has as much respect and he knows as much about our program as he does. And yeah, then just it was like a slight to him. But like I said, Penning is a good football player. That hurt to say. It's because my thing as an offensive lineman, you know, guys like that, and you know that they're just the biggest a-holes in the world and it's unnecessary. Like Noah Gindorf retweeted and he said, "Okay, sweet, I just broke my leg on the same exact play. Like, are we going to teach guys that this is cool or awesome?" Because, yeah. And then you see the clip of him literally barrel rolling the D end into the quarterback's legs. And I'm like, that's undraftable to me because you know, yeah, it's going to show up one time. But that's my beef with
where
them.
Did he go, Penning?
New Orleans.
Well, they don't have a quarterback for him to roll up into, but
correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But, like, just the, you know, I would – Isaiah Weston, I think, is going to be a steal for somebody going undrafted. And then Pierre Strong Jr. is going to have a good long career, too. I think he's a stud as well.
Love that fit with the Patriots, too.
Yeah, it's not like I hate people because they played at rival schools. I hate you for reasons that are justified in my mind rather than just what logo you earn.
All right. Okay, let's talk about young Braden Thomas.
Yes.
Go back here on what a story. I mean, how cool is it that kid – comes from Mankato and is now in the National Football League.
Came from the University of Mary, sir. Yeah.
Shout out, University of Mary. Okay, so let's talk about this. He will obviously, I shouldn't say obviously because our people don't know that. Daniel Hardy. That's the I think Montana State edge rusher. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure. He got drafted by them in round 7. Yep. So that'll be actually interesting competition between B-Tom and Daniel Hardy.
Sure.
Because honestly, like from a depth chart perspective, they're not going to give Hardy a bunch of respect more than they give a UDFA.
Right.
But
yeah.
That's an interesting camp battle. So out in LA, he's going to play outside linebacker, but it's a 3-4 system. So it's the same as a defensive end
right.
with what they do at North Dakota State. He's not competing with Ernest Jones and Bobby Wagner.
Right.
He's competing with Leonard Floyd. Well, not Leonard specifically, but he's competing for the positions that are currently taken up by Terrell Lewis, Leonard Floyd, the position that obviously Von Miller played last year when they traded for him, and he mm-hmm. is now gone. But guys that are also in that position is Justin Hollins, Chris Garrett, who's not a player that I've heard of. He was a 7th-round pick. And wow, there's some opportunity for our boy. So the backup, one of the backup outside linebackers is a 2021 7th-round pick. The guy in the position behind Hollins is a street free agent from 2021 in Anthony sure. Hines. And Daniel Hardy is a 2022 7th-round pick. I don't know who B-Tom's agent is. Good job, B-Tom's agent.
Yeah.
This is a legitimate opportunity to make a 53-man roster.
For a good football team.
And I am just about ready to call him like a practice squad lock.
Yeah.
I love this fit for Braden Thomas.
Here's the cool thing, like, in our conversations with B-Tom, too, pre-draft, of, like, he's in a spot where people aren't set in their ways. Like, if McVay thinks he can contribute at tight end or fullback, he'll put him at tight end or fullback and play somewhere else.
Yeah.
If he proves that he's a good enough football player to be there, he's going to be there. And, I mean, he won't be, like, in the D-tax room, but think about the people on that defense he gets to be mentored by.
Yes.
He's walking into a locker room with Aaron Donald and Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, real veterans, Jalen Ramsey, Troy yeah. Hill, Bobby Wagner, Leonard Floyd, Aaron Donald.
Studs.
A'shaun Robinson. Like, guys that have been through it. And by the way, almost all of them have a championship ring because they are the defending world champions. Shout out, B-Tom. I'm excited. Let's see if we've got, and this is going to be just great radio, but let's see if we've got a official number for Braden.
I wonder if he'll have a chew-in in his roster picture.
Okay. Should play the Jeopardy music right now.
I'll just sing it. How about that?
Yeah.
Everybody who's listening just turned it off.
Oh, man. Rams roster. This is just great radio. Just checking to see if we have a... Oh, they must have not been able to get rams.com. The Rams official website is therams.com. Good for them. Okay. So he's going to be listed as a linebacker. And they must not have announced or like added their guys to the roster here. Unsigned. Yeah, they actually haven't even assigned jersey numbers to their draft picks. In fact, I don't even see. Yeah, they haven't even added the undrafted free agents. So shout out to the Packers and the Bengals for being on the
roster pictures and everything already.
Absolutely. So let's talk about another excellent opportunity. This is something that I talked about a ton when it happened, and that is the opportunity that is available for Josh Babbage. It's interesting to me. Look at him. There he is. Look at that.
Straight up killer right there.
No number, though.
No.
So we won't waste your time with yet another number discussion. But Tommy Tremble, who, by the way, blocks like Babbo does. Tommy Tremble's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But, and again, they might have signed Babbo to be a dog.
Right.
But he was the leading receiver for Panthers tight ends with 180 yards.
Yeah.
So if your leading receiver at tight end has 180 yards, there's a competition at tight end. There just is.
I'd say it's wide open, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you have to love the fit. Yeah. Goes down to Carolina, where our guy
Trev G.
Trev G can take care of him.
Greatest athlete I've ever met.
Yeah, great. Trev G can take care of him. I tagged his wonderful wife, Carla, who's in the sports media scene in Charlotte. But a great fit, I think. Competitive division, but a position where I think he can succeed.
Yep.
Certainly a spot where we can go visit him, maybe play some golf in Myrtle Beach.
Pull my leg, I guess.
Yeah, like, you know, and by the way, like, shout out to pretty much everybody except maybe Cordell. Cordell could, yeah. You know, I'm not like trying to be in Cincinnati a ton.
A little skyline action. Yeah.
But, you know, shout out Charlotte. Shout out Los Angeles.
Dude, I don't know if I can handle a week in LA to go see B-Tom play.
That's true.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, it was actually our guy Quinn pointed it out that they're leading. He had 20 catches last year. Yeah. Like, you need a little bit of production out of your tight end room, yeah. Especially in today's NFL where, you know, they may not be everybody as good as Travis Kelce,
yep.
But they are safety blankets for especially a guy like Sam Darnold who's going to play for basically his job this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting because, I mean, I think and it could be good, could be bad for
right.
Babich, but I think – that there's a chance Matt Rhule might not be there very long, and there's a chance that Sam Darnold might not be there right. very long. And I think if all that happens, you're also probably going to move on from the Christian McCaffrey era of Carolina right. Panther football. So I think you could end up with a new tight end, you could end up with a new coach, you could end up with a new system, and hopefully that still applies to Josh Babich. But what I've always been interested with Babich is, like, what if they threw him the ball?
Right.
And that's not, you know, I'm not digging on Coach Roll. I'm not complaining about the offense. I'm just thinking, like, man, if he was ever put in, like, the Dallas Goedert role at South right. Dakota State, or if he
2,000 receiving
yards. If he was put in a different role,
right.
I'm just interested to see what he can do. I'm going to be acutely tuned in to Panthers preseason football.
Yeah, and it's so funny. Like, I never had gotten excited before, but, like, now I'm cheering for my friends to, like, make football teams.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I'm going to be updating Rams roster updates and stuff like yes. that just to see yes. how these guys do.
Stealing my NFL Game Pass login, et yes, cetera, et cetera. Yeah,
because both of them have chances to make it. And,
yeah.
and right now, as a UDFA, your first job is to make the football team.
Yes.
In whatever aspect that is. And then you can go on about contribution, how you're going to fit into the offense. But I think Babbo has one really good shot to secure the first step and two yep. go beyond that very quickly.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that is enough babbling for us as we are now at the 42-minute mark. We have enjoyed having you guys so very much. Thank you to our sponsors, Big Deck Barbecue, and the good, good people over at Mahana Fresh. Congratulations once again to the four Bison that are now on NFL rosters. Thank you all. And have a phenomenal week. Go Bison.